Hi guys, welcome to episode 6 of Perspective with Zachary Perkins. I'm so happy to be here. I have a really great show for you guys. I did it a little backwards today, so I recorded the intro after I've already done the whole rest of the episode. And I'm really proud of this episode. I really think that it's a really entertaining episode, and I hope, you know, people take some things away from it and some viewpoints are changed by what we talk about in the episode. I'm sorry, just my mouth is dry today. I promised you guys a big, colossal, epic episode the last time I was here with you guys. This is not that episode. While this is still a really good episode, this is just not that episode I was referring to. You know, life got a little crazy trying to coordinate schedules because I have so many guests that I'm bringing on for this episode. It's really special. It's really near and dear to me. It's probably be like the most important episode that I ever do. So I don't want to give a rushed product. I want to make sure that, you know, timing is very important. I want to make sure the content y'all are getting is quality. So I was willing to wait another week to give you guys an episode. And I just decided to record this one first because this one was just me, so it was easy to get myself in a room. And later on this week, we will drop episode 7, which is, like I said, it's going to be a really massive episode. It's going to be really, really good. I haven't decided, because I think it's going to be a long episode, so I don't know if I should split it into 2 parts or not. Y'all give me feedback on that. So yeah, we're about to get into some things, as always. Alright, so a few weeks ago, Lil Yachty, I'm sorry, not a few weeks ago, it was a couple months ago. Whew, time is flying. A couple months ago, Lil Yachty, I think he unknowingly started this controversy when he just said that he wrote Act Up by the City Girls. My main problem with this was everyone was attacking Young Miami online, saying that, you know, they couldn't support the song anymore because she used a ghostwriter. And my thing with that is he has always been a credited writer. The problem is people do not do research on things and invest that time to making sure that they're not putting out ignorant statements until things are trendy and popular, and they just go with whatever the crowd is saying. No one checks anything for validation and accuracy. Yes, Yachty did write the chorus, the hook, and the first verse, which is Young Miami's verse. But it is literally a summer anthem. Like, it's not Young Miami talking about what her and her parents and her family went through. And so I don't have an explicit issue with her using a ghostwriter here, because the thing about ghostwriting in the past, and I've said this on my Twitter, the thing about ghostwriting, people use ghostwriters, or ghostwriters were not, you know, too well received in the music industry back in the day, because rap was, and still is, I think, the most authentic genre of music. And if you didn't have that authenticity, nobody wanted to hear what you were saying, because your music wasn't going to connect in the streets, because people from the streets can detect a fraud, you know? And so wanting that genuity and that authenticity in the music is something that was almost a requirement back in the day when rap was really finding its footing. But rap has been so fortunate. While all the other genres of music have declined over the years, it has, you know, plateaued for a little bit, and now it's back on the rise, and it's been the number one genre of music and the most consumed genre of music in the United States for a couple years now. And to call Yachty a ghostwriter in this case is just wrong, because a ghostwriter is just that. They're someone who writes and they go ghost. They get paid up on the front, and they're not given any percentage of the song, you know, once it becomes popular and it generates all its revenue, or they are, you know, given a little bit of the back end, but they still don't receive as much as they would have if they had properly been credited. And they're contractually obligated to to remain silent and never come forward as the writer of the track. So you'll never hear an actual ghostwriter tell you they wrote something, because 9 times out of 10, it will be violating whatever agreement is in place. But the landscape of music has changed so much. A lot of our artists are our manufacturer today. A lot of our artists, we've known them for something else first, and then they've become rappers. And Young Miami has been very open with the fact that she didn't even want to be a rapper. She's been open with, you know, stating that this was JT's dream, and she did this as a way to support her best friend and to get them to develop as a brand together and, you know, find some kind of stardom, which they have, you know, and just go about it that way. So, and like I said, it's a song about, I mean, what is the song even about? It's not even about anything serious. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a song about having a good time, shaking your ass. We've all had a good time. We've all shaken our asses. If you have a problem with it, write a song. Get in a writing camp. Get your coins. But I'm not mad at it. She still gets paid. Yachty gets his check. I don't see the issue with this particular thing. But what we have to also look at is your favorite male artists do not write everything that comes out of their mouths. But when it's that, then there are so many excuses that come about it. And the thing with saying you have a problem with Young Miami and this ghostwriter, once again, goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. Y'all don't know, a lot of y'all don't know how music credits even work. And so you see more names than there are artists on the track, and you automatically assume someone has written for someone else. But you have to keep in mind, if someone arranges or composes original music and beats, they can be credited as a writer. Producers can be credited as writers. And then if a song is sampling another song, the original writers of the sample song all get credited no matter what. So do your research and just sit on it for a minute before you just rush out and say anything just because you feel like you can. I mean, you can, but it's 2019. Like, why are we making ignorant statements? On the flip side of this, however, I saw Cardi B won the ASCAP Award for Songwriter of the Year. She's the first female rapper to ever do this. And I think my thing with this, on the converse flip side of it, is Cardi's been very open about how much she contributes to her hits, and how much of a responsibility they are. I'm not one of those people who doesn't think that she doesn't write at all. I definitely think that she's learned a great deal about writing a hit and constructing a song. But I've also listened to mixtape Cardi, so I know that a lot of this is not logistically, like, it's just not logistic for me to think that this is Cardi writing. Performing, it's obviously her. But I mean, there are people who write entirely or mainly. Tyler, the Creator, just wrote and arranged his entire album by himself, produced it all by himself. Mariah Carey wrote every one of her 18 number one Hot 100 number one hits by herself. So I fear that in doing that, people who actually write are being overlooked. Not even for winning awards like this, but just for being nominated. And I wonder how she won this before the Missies, the Laurens, the Nickies, the Kims, even Iggy Azalea. Shit. My thing that just goes and hurts about it is her winning that award shows me the appreciation for songwriting has definitely died. I remember being a kid, like I've said before, the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was the first CD I'd ever gotten. And I had to be maybe 4 or 5 when I, like, actually owned a physical copy of the CD myself. And I remember being a kid listening to it, and I learned so much about musicality and tonality and the craft of songwriting. And it made me really fall in love with music because in the span of that album, I felt like I had heard an entire story. I felt like I had learned so much about the persona and the complexity of Lauryn Hill. So just to know that people are not even making efforts to connect in their music like that today makes me sad, because that is a large part of the decline of music. But it's just where we are. We don't have the attention spans, or the generation that they're catering to, I guess, does not have the attention span to it. But it's killed the music industry in so many ways, because I think it's also killed physical sales of music. Because why are we going to go and buy microwave music that is just going to be replaced with more in another year? And I was such a fan of going to record stores and picking CDs up. Like, I loved doing that shit. Like, I loved going to Best Buy and getting new CDs just as much as I loved going to Blockbuster and getting movies as a kid. And so just in that aspect of killing the music industry, we also have to look at streaming now. You know, with the death of CD, has streaming helped or hurt, you know, the industry? I think that the only way streaming has helped the industry is it has made music more readily available on demand. To have on our phones these apps and these services that can give us access at any given time to tens upon tens of millions of songs at a time is really cool. But in the streaming era, you're only as hot as, you know, the latest drop. So people are constantly putting out albums, constantly putting out singles and projects. And it's like Beyonce said in the interview, she said, people don't make albums anymore. They put out singles, let the single burn out, and then they put out another one, let them just keep going on that cycle. And then they put them on a body of work that they call an album. And it's like, there's no cohesion. There's nothing tying this project together. And I'm supposed to digest it and consume it as one. And it just sounds like a hodgepodge of just everything mixed together. And I think that is what has these artists putting albums out so frequently. Yolanda was telling me yesterday that Gucci Mane has released 100 mixtapes and albums since like the year 2006 or 2007. Insane, ludicrous. Future releasing all those albums, insane, ludicrous. Even Ariana putting out those two albums within a year. It's ridiculous. Because real artists used to put out a project and they would really work the project for 2 to 3 years. And you would really sit with that album, you really consume it, you really digest it, you really understand, interpret it, and then they would get you ready for the next one. And now that's just not even how it goes. Or people are putting so many songs on an album. I'm looking at you, Chris Brown. I'm looking at you, Drake. They're putting so many songs on an album to pad their streaming numbers because they know they have the name that is going to make someone sit and really listen to 45 songs on an album. And it's just a lot of filler. Like, I've listened to so many albums that have so much filler on them, and it just makes me sad because I'm like, you could have had a classic. Like, you could have dropped a really solid body of work, and then you put 7 songs of filler on here that were not necessary. And I can't just overlook them because that's a portion of your album. It's a significant portion of your album. But, you know, it's just people doing whatever it takes to finesse the charts and finesse their sales. Because I found out Chris Brown released all those songs, like, on Heartbreak of a Full Moon. And he did it as a double album, so every time it was streamed or purchased, it counted like twice because it was a double album. And he split them like that on purpose so that people would account to his album selling faster than it really was. So that is my take on ghostwriting and I guess streaming in the industry right now. But the industry is in really good places right now, though. Talk about females in hip hop. Females in hip hop are in a place that I'm not gonna say females in hip hop have never been in this place. But there's so much like unity, and I feel like women are really being respected for their craft in hip hop, which is really dope to see. Obviously, I think Cardi and City Girls and Meg are really leading that wave and this charge right now, this revolution. And they're putting out really quality bodies of work, and they're really making sure that they learn their lanes and they're staying to them, they're sticking to them, and they're being authentic to themselves, which I think is refreshing for a lot of people to see. But what I hate to see is a lot of people discredit and attack Nicki, because Nicki really took a lot of shit to not only debut in a male-driven industry, but to maintain relevancy in this industry, which is not easy to do. And no female rapper has had that consistent track record. Yeah, Missy and Kim may still be around, but they have not been consistently putting projects out since they debuted, you know what I'm saying? And my whole thing with it is, it's really cool to see everyone finally able to grasp the fact that you don't have to pick who your favorite female rapper is. Because it seemed like every time someone was coming up, like Iggy, Azalea Banks, it always was them versus Nicki. And when Cardi came up, Cardi was coming up, and she was coming up fast. I was like, dang, this might be the one that the GP finally just switch up on Nicki, whatever. But once Cardi came in the door, all the other females came in right behind her. So I think people were like, oh, like just so overwhelmed and flooded with just having that quality. And they were like, okay. Like I said, they finally understood you can like more than one female rapper at a time. But the thing is, Nicki is, there will never just be another like her, really, honestly. And my thing with that woman, I don't think that sometimes she picks the best singles to release. And so I don't think that sometimes the general public gets the best feel for what Nicki is doing, what she's spitting. But her last album, really lyrical. I think it had like the most elements of mixtape Nicki in a minute. I personally recommend off her last album, Hard White and LLC. And I just want everyone to remember that just because you have these new shiny female rappers in your face, you do not have to discredit what has been, because everyone that has come up, whether they feel a way about her now or whatever, all of them have said she opened the door. I'm inspired by what she did. No one did what she did. And so there's nothing wrong with giving credit where credit is due. Megan Thee Stallion, I don't even know what to say. I'm so proud. I feel like that's my cousin. And I just watched her just pop up one night. And I don't know. It's just like something clicked in everybody's head one day. And they were like, Meg is the wave. And I'm glad y'all got on it instead of drowning, because you would have died and never came back. just bops. Like, I'm really gonna go sit through like the foolishness of ACL in October just so I can see her. Like, I really fuck with her. She tried to be sneaky and called a little project a mixtape. That ain't a mixtape. That is an album. Whether she want to say it or not, that's an album. Because you cannot tell me you putting out a full-length body of work with more than 7 tracks, original beats, features, videos, you got singles. That's an album, baby girl. You on an album cycle. And it's okay. Because it's a good album. But I think a lot of times people just don't want to call their albums, just in case they don't do what they were supposed to do. But we're rooting for Meg. We're rooting for everybody in female rap. Y'all need to go listen to Rico Nasty. She has a new collaborative project out with Kenny Beats. I was put onto No Name by my friends Jonathan and Jordan. Let's see who else. Who else is out here really doing it in female rap? Oh my gosh. Malibu Mitch is pretty dope. Asian Doll, I guess. Is that, or is it Asian DeBrat? I don't know. Asian. She signed to Gucci. All of them. There's so many people out here. Lizzo. Is Lizzo a rapper? I mean, she was nominated for Best Female Rapper at BET. But female rap is alive and well and supported so that it doesn't die again. And look up a new female rapper so that it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, there's room for everyone to shine. For, you know, we let all these men coexist. And the thing I think that a lot of people have said for so long is that Nicki was not welcoming of new female rappers. Number one, it's not that lady's job to make sure everyone comes up and hits it. Because people love to talk to dog you once they come up and make it. And these men do not do that. These men do not look out for each other and help each other get to where they are in their career. Because, no, that's just not what they do. Or they say, Nicki's always like, I'm the best, or I'm the queen, this, that, and the third. Rap is a competitive sport. And it goes right back to the men. The men do it all the time. The men always say they're the best, but they're cool afterwards. And they're able to work together. And one of these ladies say that they're the best, they're the shit, or nobody's doing what they're doing. And then y'all run and y'all be messy. And it's really Stan Twitter that creates the drama. And then it gets back to the artists. And the artists really feel like there's an issue. And I want all of that to really be deaded. Because the females in rap, because, you know, the thing is, females are still required to do twice as much as men to get half the shine, which is crazy because they really be spitting. And so I really hope that, like, the beefs and all of that really die, because I know so many collaborations I want from these female rappers. So I really hope that they are able to deliver and give us good content and good music. So yeah, that is my take on the females in hip hop. Females in hip hop, you doing your thing. Is anybody I forgot to shout out? I apologize, but I see you, I hear you. I've been listening to a lot of female rap for a minute now. So I know a lot more of you, and a lot more of you are on my phone, but I just cannot think right now. Okay, guys, and I just wanted to add something else. I've been seeing a couple tweets, you know, just really kind of nitpicking and tearing Megan Thee Stallion apart for no reason. And it goes from anything from saying she looks like she dresses in the WWE, or, you know, surfacing a picture of her toes from an event or whatever. And it may seem like all fun and games and jokes, but I think so many times I've seen this trend of raising our black women to be at the top of their field and the top of their game, and just supporting them and pouring so much into their careers, and, you know, getting them the attention and the the accolades and the acclaim that they deserve. But it seems that with our Black entertainers and our female entertainers of color in particular, once they get to this level of stardom, the same people who helped them get there are inevitably their downfall. I watched you guys do it with Nicki, Tiffany Haddish. It really was done to Monique too, but that's a conversation for a whole nother day because it's a whole nother topic. But you know, I just really want everybody to be mindful that Megan Thee Stallion's stylist has been very open with saying that they have not been able to secure high end brands to, you know, offer to style Meg or lend her pieces because she's too urban and she's not commercial enough yet, which translates to you are still catering too much to those Negroes over there. So, you know, I think especially before people really launch and become who they're destined to be, you just got to be in the corner. You got to, if you're going to support. And if you're not, just stay the hell away. And let this girl have her moment because she deserves it. Okay, so I want to talk about Lil Nas X because he probably is the most peculiar and polarizing figure in music right now to me. Old Town Road really started popping a couple months ago. As y'all know, y'all were around when it started popping. It's been about, 5 months now? So, that was January. Dang, it's been a minute. Okay, so it's been working its way up the charts. Billy Ray hopped on the remix. You know, we all know this. So when the song came out and Billboard removed it from the country charts and said it didn't have enough country elements, I was like, what? Like, this is literally like country trap. And I've seen so many like country artists and hits be crossover on other charts over the years or whatever. So I was like, whatever. But I mean, we all knew why they took it off the charts. And if you don't know, shame on you. So we all know why that song was actually removed from the country charts. And I was like, damn, like, they're really doing him wrong. But, you know, we really supported that little boy. And we really lifted that song to number one after that. Like, we really had his back and everything. And he dropped his EP. EP, here we go with that mess again. He dropped his EP this past week, and I listened to it, and it was just, like, everything. Like, it was, not everything like that, but it was everything in terms of genres of music, and I kind of understand why the country charts want, okay, no, I'm not going to say that, because that was not their reason for removing that song, because they didn't know what I know at that time. But I'm a little less upset about it because he, I think, used our outrage and our sympathy we had for him in that situation and let it propel him all the way to number one, which was smart. You know, like, you don't get moments like that every day in the music industry. So when you do, ride the wave until you can't anymore. But I think he definitely knew what he was doing. He knew he's a professional troll. He knew what it was going to do and just the freedom it was going to give him. But I'm not one to tell someone that, like, they have to stay in a lane in music. But I just don't know what to make of him. Like, I don't know what he's doing. Because, I mean, I just don't think, like, any one song had enough elements of one genre for me to be like, this is what he's doing. Because it was just a mess. It was just very different. It was very musically diverse. But I just don't think he was well-versed in every genre he tried to dabble into. I say that. But shout out to him and Billy Ray. That song has been selling I believe they said that song's been selling like 1 million copies a week for a couple weeks now. And it is already nearing a diamond certification here, which means that it has moved 10 million units in the United States. Which again, thanks to the power of streaming, because I don't think it's actually even sold 1 million pure copies yet, but streaming will carry you. And so I'm really wondering how that will fare at the Grammys next year, like how Old Town Road will fare at the Grammys, and if he'll be pushed for Best New Artist and that whole thing. But, you know, the Grammys, I don't really, really trust them because they never get it right. And I don't really even know, like, which way I'm leaning in terms of, like, rooting for this boy and his Grammy odds. But I just know the Grammys never get it right. So it will be interesting to see what his Grammy prospects end up actually being. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to drop a really, really bomb playlist of my favorite songs that have come out this summer. Maybe like this summer and spring, because I feel like this summer release schedule has been a little slow. And I put it on all the platforms, on Apple Music and Spotify, so y'all can listen to it. Because I've been in the car with a few of y'all, and the music's just not moving me. It's really not. So we're going to fix it, though. We're going to fix it with you guys. Don't forget, we will be back with episode 7 later on this week. It's going to be legendary. It's going to be epic. It's going to be everything. Y'all are going to get your lives. So I'm not even going to say bye today. I'm saying simply see you later, because I'll be back later on this week. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, thank you for listening to Perspective with Zachary Perkins.